The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hello, Hoopball Lakers family, and welcome to another solo pod from yours truly, JC DeLeon. For those of you that don't know, I live in Austin, Texas, and for the last week we have been almost literally frozen over, which has never happened in Texas. Haven't been able to record because I've been without power and internet for some time, but thankfully the worst of that is over, and Texas is now on our way to recover. But enough of that, and on with the pod. So the Lakers are on a downturn after the 7-game winning streak that was predicted by yours truly, and understandably so. Anthony Davis has been sidelined with what is called a calf strain, although people keep throwing around another word that I don't even like putting out into the universe, and it is concerning. It's genuinely concerning. You don't know how big of an impact this will truly have on the season until he gets back out there in 4 to 6 weeks, and until then, the Lakers have to maintain as close to the top of the conference as they can, and it's hard because the Utah Jazz are surging. The Clippers are still really good, and you got to imagine the rest of the West is smelling blood in the water and eyeing that 3 seed. Phoenix is beginning to come on really well. So is Portland. So are the Spurs. Denver, who is one of the two of the last three losses for the Lakers. Denver is rebounding quite nicely from their poor start to the season. It's still fairly early in the season, as there's a lot of teams really tied between 4 and 8, and the top three are pretty much Utah, the Lakers, and the Clippers. But the Lakers don't, going into the All-Star break, will not have the best record. Quinn Snyder has already been selected as the coach for Team LeBron in the West, and yeah, congratulations to LeBron James for being selected to his 17th All-Star game, year 18, year number 17 for the All-Star. Another year in which he was the leading vote-getter. Over in the East, Kevin Durant was your leading vote-getter there. He will be captain of Team Durant. But back to the week that was. So, having lost 2 out of the last 3 games, both losses coming against playoff teams with winning records, yes, there's cause for concern. But there's also plenty of bright spots. So Ethan might have gone over the Denver game in which Anthony Davis did get hurt. I haven't been able to listen to those episodes. Been under a blizzard the last week, so I don't know the extent in which he covered that Denver game or the Anthony Davis injury. But we'll quickly go over that box score. So yeah, Lakers lost 122-105. Blowout. I got to imagine the morale was pretty low after the Anthony Davis injury second half. Wasn't a very bright one for the Los Angeles Lakers. LeBron only had 3 points in that second half. Kyle Kuzma was a bright spot for the second half in that one with 10 points. In the half, 19 overall. LeBron almost had a triple-double at 22, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. It always weirds me out when he gets 10 rebounds and 9 assists and misses a triple-double with assists, because it's what he's known for. Wasn't a very good game for Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder we'll talk about here in a little bit as far as why he's been out. And yeah, Anthony Davis was having a pretty good game up until he did get hurt. He had 15 points in that half and hurt his calf on a drive against Nikola Jokic. Jokic, who is on that MVP... You know, some people consider him on the MVP train. He actually did have a triple-double in that game with 23, 16, and 10. It's just an overall really great effort from Denver. wasn't a whole lot the Lakers could do. Lakers had a good bench effort with 19 from Kuzma, 10 from Talen Horton-Tucker, 11 from Caruso. Didn't have great games from Montrezl Harrell or Dennis Schroeder, like we said earlier, and KCP didn't have a really great game there either. So, you know, his contributions have sort of been a little inconsistent. Wesley Matthews in that game played almost 17 minutes but scored 0 points. Only put up 1 3-pointer and 2 field goal attempts. So he was in there mostly for defense, and given how the game went, wasn't very effective defensively. Wasn't really his fault, though. This was a weird game in general. Road game, after a 7-game winning streak. It's tough to keep a winning streak going, especially after winning that many games in a row. You're now facing a team that's surging like the Denver Nuggets. So kind of an excusable loss there. It followed up that loss with a pretty good win against the Minnesota Timberwolves. LeBron had a great game, 30 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists. Great game from Dennis Schroeder, 24 points for him, 11 from Marcus Gasol, 17 from Montrezl Harrell. Minnesota had Karl-Anthony Towns, and so the fact that Montrezl Harrell was able to play such a great game with a lot of those minutes coming against Naz Reid and Karl-Anthony Towns, it was a really good game for Montrezl Harrell, and the fact that it proves that he can play with bigger centers if he needs to. Kyle Kuzma, so-so game for him. He's having a start while Anthony Davis is going to be out, and so we're going to see a lot of games in which Kyle Kuzma is going to be starting. And so he's going to get a lot more opportunities for scoring, although in this game, there just wasn't a lot for him. LeBron and Dennis Schroeder kind of had the game on lock, and Montrezl Harrell was just there on a lot of the opportunities granted to him. They went with a 9-man rotation here. They did play 10 players. Talen Horton-Tucker played about 6 minutes, but didn't do a lot in his 6 minutes. His minutes continue to fluctuate up and down, but I do like the contributions he's been providing lately. This was a good game for the rookie Anthony Edwards, number one overall pick. Anthony Edwards, who last night, as of this recording, had the dunk of the year, dunking on somebody from Toronto. Don't know his name. Should look up his name because he's going to be famous for years to come. That dunk was like getting dunked on like Travis Knight level, DeAndre Jordan on Travis Knight sort of dunk. It's just one of those. He went up and he almost rode the guy. Anthony Edwards almost rode the guy all the way down. But in this game versus the Lakers, 28 points for Anthony Edwards, shot 5 for 10 from 3. Just a really great game. Had a good moment in which he shot a 3 over LeBron. Turned around, couldn't help but smile at the fact that he shot a 3 right in the King's face. Happens from time to time. Rookies get moments like that, and it's good to see the young guy having a great game. The next game. So this was a pretty bad one, although, I mean, it's only an 11-point loss, and it was a much bigger blowout than that. But the Lakers were just never really in this game versus Brooklyn. Brooklyn was without Kevin Durant. And they went with a small ball lineup with Jeff Green at center. And so I think that kind of disrupted Marc Gasol a little bit, although we did have 8 points in this game. LeBron had 32, Kyle Kuzma had 16, 10 for Montrezl Harrell, and a pretty good matchup for Montrez. But, yeah, Brooklyn was just... They make a ton of threes. They shot 18 for 39 from three. Previous two games before that, Brooklyn had made 20 threes in each of the games. They were on pace to be the first team in NBA history to have three games in a row in which they make 20 threes in each game. Kyrie Irving and James Harden have been gelling offensively, probably a little bit better than people expected them to. They're sharing the ball at an equal rate. Kyrie Irving did kind of, acquiesce to James Harden and say, you be the point guard, I'll be the shooting guard. Although they both kind of split up those duties pretty evenly, although James Harden with 11 assists in this game and Kyrie with 5 in this one as well. But, yeah, this was just, James Harden couldn't be stopped. Kyrie Irving had a pretty good game. Joe Harris, who I knew it was impossible in the offseason, but just one of many guys that I would have liked to have seen the Lakers try to make a run at. He's such a good three-point shooter. He's having a historic shooting season this season. Shot 6-for-7 from three in this game, 7-for-10 overall for 21 points. Joe Harris has just been outstanding this season, and yeah, I wish somehow the Lakers would have found a way to get him in the purple and gold because of how much they value three-point shooters. But yeah, this is a bad game. Bad game overall. From the bench, didn't get a whole lot. Alex Caruso, minus 20 for the game. Not a great effort from him. One of the rare not great efforts from him. 9 points for Talen Horton-Tucker. He got a lot and got almost 30 minutes to kind of show out and see what he can do. And I think the magic number for Talen Horton is over 20 minutes. If it's going to be a game in which he plays over 20 minutes, he's going to contribute. He's going to contribute pretty well. He's going to get the intangibles. He's going to get a couple steals, a couple blocks. He'll get some rebounds. He'll get some assists. He's been playing really well. But for now, we're going to take a quick break, and you're going to hear from Ethan for an ad.
You know, ever since we started this podcast, people always ask us for betting tips. We always get asked, who you got, Lakers or Clippers? You know, for us, it's going to be the Lakers, Rodgers or Mahomes. And I'll tell you what, I tell them, where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why we tell people to bet with MyBookie. MyBookie's rep is rock solid, and they've got the best odds, the best contests, and the best promotions in the business. They're the only place I trust to handle any of my sports-related bets, the one sportsbook guaranteed to give me and you the best lines for the National Championship College football game on January 11th and on every NFL playoff game, not to mention the NBA action. You know me, and you know that I don't give out my stamp of approval easily. So, MyBookie, they earned it. And to earn it from me, you've got to be the best at what you do. And MyBookie is the best sportsbook out there, period. It's simple. Sign up, enter promo code HOOPBALL, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. You put in $1,000, they'll give you $500 free money. So head on over to MyBookie if you want to add a little excitement to the sports you love and the games that you bet. Bet with the best. Bet with MyBookie. That's MyBookie.ag.
So with the Anthony Davis injury, where can the Lakers go, or what can the Lakers do to possibly mitigate any long-term issues that might arise from either an extended absence from him, or if he comes back and just simply isn't as impactful as he was before, or if he has to play in a limited capacity, and so. This is the segment of the show in which I go over trade rumors once again. Was hoping to not have to do that very much this season. The Lakers have such a deep and talented roster. I really didn't think they'd be in a position to where a trade would kind of be a necessity. But that's sort of where they find themselves, both with the Anthony Davis injury and with the lack of depth at center, in which people knew was going to be an issue, but has perhaps become more of an issue than people thought. And so, you know, first off, with any potential trade that we can discuss or talk about, some combination of these players, fans have to understand that they're going to part with. Either Kyle Kuzma, Talen Horton-Tucker, Dennis Schroeder, or Montrezl Harrell. And maybe a couple of other pieces. But those four main pieces, now there's no way the Lakers would trade all four of them. Depending on what you can get, you would lose one, any combination between one and three of them. The biggest potential piece trade we've talked about being Bradley Beal. And Bradley Beal is worth sacrificing a Kyle Kuzma and a Talen Horton-Tucker. That's the only player, I believe, that's worth sacrificing those two specific ones for. Because to look at some of the, to just Google Laker trade rumors and to see what's out there, it just doesn't seem like there's anything worth trading, you know, the future nucleus of the team being Kyle Kuzma, Talen Horton-Tucker, and, you know, Trez and Schroeder. But, you know, potential trade targets that have been out there, you know, there's an Alec Burks. Alec Burks obviously isn't going to cost you two of those four players, Kuzma, Tucker, Schroeder, or Harrell. Alec Burks would probably cost you a Kyle Kuzma. And given that Kuzma was willing to sacrifice some salary, the fact that he was willing to play a minimized role for this team just to be here, and so that proves how much he wants to be here. And if the guy wants to be here that badly and you have to trade him, you've got to do much better than Alec Burks. And same for the next two guys that I'm going to mention. This is from an article from lakeshowlife.com. I don't know how reliable they are. This is just me reacting in real time to Laker trade rumors as of this recording, February 20th. Sterling Brown of the Houston Rockets. Houston Rockets have a lot of pieces. They have a lot of draft picks. And so a guy like Sterling Brown, this would be really similar to the Reggie Bullock trade from 2 years ago. And Sterling Brown is not going to cost you any of those four players. He's not going to cost you Kuzma. He's not going to cost you Harrell. He's not going to cost you Taylor Horton Tucker. He's not going to cost you Schroeder. He might cost you a guy like Alphonso McKinney. And Alphonso McKinney, who people thought was a pretty slick defensive minded addition, hasn't played a lot this season. It remains to be seen whether or not he'll have an impact. Alphonso McKinney does seem to be the most expendable part of the roster, a la Troy Daniels. Troy Daniels is a player that I really liked last season. I liked his three-point shot, and there just wasn't really a spot for him in the rotation. And so waiving him ended up being a good thing because they opened up a roster spot. And Sterling Brown is basically, you'd be trading a guy who's not playing a lot for another guy who's probably not going to play a lot, but Sterling Brown might be a better three-point shooter than Alphonso McKinney. And Wayne Ellington. Wayne Ellington, former Laker, really good three-point shooter. He probably would cost you like a Kuzma or something like that. This season he's shooting 43.8% from beyond the arc on 6 threes a game, so he's a really good three-point shooter. And he's got some defensive ability. And a coach like Frank Vogel will be able to fit him into the defensive scheme, which I've said all season long, the key to Frank Vogel's success is going to be in his scheme. But those kinds of players aren't the kinds of players that I believe the Lakers should trade for. If they're going to make a move, you have to make a move that's in response to the Anthony Davis injury and or a response to the lack of depth at center. So, you know, Lakers fans have to understand that you're not going to be able to trade Marc Gasol as much as you might want to. So Marc Gasol is going to be here to stay. I think ideally him starting is fine. It's similar to JaVale McGee in that he serves a purpose for this team defensively and offensively the way JaVale didn't last season. LeBron seems to like playing with Gasol. Gasol seems to be lately a little bit more comfortable in this offense and his role in it. And so for that, especially him as a leader, him starting is fine. But you want a more traditional center and rim protector in the way that Montrezl Harrell really isn't. Now, earlier we talked about how well he played against Karl-Anthony Towns, and that's great. It's great that he's able to play that well against a player like that. But in the playoffs, against a Rudy Gobert, against a Nikola Jokic, he's Trez just isn't it. And unfortunately, really, neither is Gasol laterally. He fits into the scheme well, as is Frank Vogel's strength, but yeah. So let's take a look at these potential trades here. So Miles Turner, this is a potential trade from NBAAnalysis.net. Now this would be quite the expensive trade from Lakers fans. So Miles Turner, first of all, let's take a look at Miles Turner, center from Indiana. Went to the University of Texas at Austin, where I live, and I saw him play in college his 1 year as players from the Longhorns tend to do, play one year. So this season, Miles Turner, averaging 13 points, shooting 32% from three, which is not bad for a center. That's probably better than what Marc Gasol is shooting, if I had to guess. Let's take a look at what Marc Gasol is shooting from three this year, although he's not shooting very many. Okay, yeah, he's shooting 36%, but at a much smaller clip. Only two threes per game versus Miles Turner, who's shooting almost 4.5 threes a game. And again, averaging 13.2 points per game, 6.6 rebounds. But here's the thing that you get with Miles Turner. He's averaging 3.5 blocks this season. I believe he's leading the league in that category. 3.5 blocks. Now, if you imagine a front court with Anthony Davis and Miles Turner, Anthony Davis so far this season defensively is averaging 1.8 blocks per game and averaging almost 9 rebounds. And so this is a front court that together is going to be grabbing almost 15 rebounds per game and blocking 5, almost 6 shots per game. As a team, the Lakers currently are averaging about 5 blocks per game. So this would basically increase your defensive output in blocks per game as a whole unit. But the cost. Miles Turner, Edmund Sumner, and Jalen Leck. I don't know who that is. I'd imagine one or both of those would get waived if this were the trade that happened. But the Indiana Pacers would receive Kyle Kuzma, not a surprise. Montrezl Harrell, not a surprise. So two of the four main bench pieces that the Lakers have, in addition to Wesley Matthews and Quinn Cook. Now, four players for basically one is a lot. Now, the only advantage to a trade like this is it would open up a roster spot for potential buyouts. But the thing about this also is to look at who's on the buyout market.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin. If you were to pull off a trade like this, you obviously wouldn't need Andre Drummond from the buyout market. And an open roster spot where you don't have to waive anybody. Yeah, you could fit Blake Griffin in there. That's fine. Blake Griffin's been playing pretty well this season. He's evolved into a different kind of player. It's weird that he hasn't had a dunk since December of 2019. That's how much he's evolved as a player. Blake Griffin hasn't dunked a basketball since December of 2019. That's just crazy. But yeah, this would open up a spot like that. And I don't believe Blake Griffin can be traded. He's owed way too much money. He's owed $51.5 million. I doubt anybody's going to be willing to pick up that contract. And for him to be bought out, he's probably going to have to give up some money. But and here's the thing about Andre Drummond. If Andre Drummond is going to be available in the buyout market, you don't need to trade for Miles Turner. Now, Miles Turner is much better than Andre Drummond. But if you can get Andre Drummond for a league minimum on the buyout market, why would you trade anybody? Andre Drummond this season, no, he's playing with the Cavaliers, and the Cavaliers, you can argue that these numbers are a little bit inflated because the Cavaliers aren't a great team, although they were a good team defensively, and you can argue that's because of Andre Drummond. 17.5 points per game, 13.5 rebounds per game. This guy rebounds so much. He gets a lot of offensive rebounds as well. Doesn't shoot any threes. And so you're not going to get any three-point shooting here, but you're going to get a ton of rebounding. You're going to get some points, and you're going to alleviate a lot of pressure from Anthony Davis if you get a guy like Andre Drummond. So, would Miles Turner be worth trading for this much? I don't think so. I would wait and see what's going to be available in the buyout market. Because this next trade is also one that I believe could be available on the buyout market. I'm not seeing a lot of rumors like this. I'm seeing that the Orlando Magic want to trade this piece. And it's a piece that I like. And it's another former Texas Longhorn, Mo Bamba. Mo Bamba, loved him his 1 year in college here in Austin. I saw a couple of his games in person. I loved his potential as a player. He just hasn't gotten a lot of playing time in Orlando. He's had a little bit of an injury history. But, yeah, this season he's only gotten in 12 games. And he just doesn't seem to be a good fit in Orlando. And Orlando's got a really great center already in Vucevic. And so, yeah, it's hard to really... It's hard to trade away a lot of pieces for Mo Bamba. I think Mo Bamba is somebody who's probably going to get bought out. I don't imagine a lot of teams... I mean, some teams might be willing to sacrifice some pieces for a player like Mo Bamba, but he might also end up just being available on the buyout market. And if he is, I think this is the kind of piece you could snatch up. And in his 14 games this season, he's averaging almost a block a game, but he's also playing only 9 minutes a game. When he gets minutes, his rookie year, his second year, 16 minutes per game, 14 minutes per game, he blocks almost 1.5 shots a game. So if he gets the minutes, this would be the perfect type of center in which you can have Montrezl Harrell play a power forward. And you can play Mo Bamba alongside Montrezl Harrell. And you can still start Marc Gasol, because you don't need to worry about a player like Mo Bamba starting over Marc Gasol. It's just not going to happen. But he'll give you really quality minutes off the bench. But yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at as far as the trade market. I think the Lakers, at this point, with the Anthony Davis injury, do need to make a move. I don't think it needs to be a huge move. I just think it needs to be a move to help alleviate pressure from Anthony Davis. In a 3-and-D wing is not going to alleviate any pressure from Anthony Davis. You need to trade for a big, or you need to find a big on the buyout market. Let's take another quick break and have a word from Ethan.
You know, ever since we started this podcast, people always ask us for betting tips. We always get asked, who you got, Lakers or Clippers? You know, for us, it's going to be the Lakers, Rodgers or Mahomes. And I'll tell you what I tell them. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why we tell people to bet with MyBookie. MyBookie's rep is rock solid, and they've got the best odds, the best contests, and the best promotions in the business. They're the only place I trust to handle any of my sports-related bets, the one sportsbook guaranteed to give me and you the best lines for the National Championship College football game on January 11th, and on every NFL playoff game, not to mention the NBA action. You know me, and you know that I don't give out my stamp of approval easily. So, MyBookie, they earned it. And to earn it from me, you've got to be the best at what you do. And MyBookie is the best sportsbook out there, period. It's simple. Sign up, enter promo code HOOPBALL, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. You put in $1,000, they'll give you $500. Free money. So head on over to MyBookie if you want to add a little excitement to the sports you love and the games that you bet. Bet with the best. Bet with MyBookie. That's MyBookie.ag.
So we'll end the show the way I usually do. We'll take a look at the overall standings for everyone. We've talked a little bit about it already. In the West, top three, you've got Utah, the Lakers, and the Clippers. Lakers currently one loss better than the Clippers at 22-8 versus 22-9 for the Clippers. If the Lakers end up at that 3 seed, I'm not going to say that I'm shocked. I thought with the shortened season, I thought LeBron would be seeing less minutes on purpose, not necessarily due to any kind of rest or anything like that. But if the Lakers finish with a 3 seed, I'm not going to be shocked. I'd be less shocked if they finish in the 4 seed. Anything beyond the 4, we'll be pretty shocked. But 3 is going to be about where I thought the Lakers would be at. Anyway. Number 14. Might be kind of surprising. Phoenix. Phoenix Suns. They are ascending. Chris Paul has been playing really well for that team. Portland is also 18-10, tied for that 4th seed. Spurs starting to come on. Didn't think the Spurs would be a playoff team this season. and 16-11, holding on to that sixth seed. Denver rebounding nicely from that bad start, like I said earlier, at 16-13. Golden State Warriors currently in the playoff picture at 16-14. Steph Curry's been having an MVP-like season. A lot of people think he might win it. I think that's ridiculous. I think, real quick, the MVP thing. Yeah, I joked a few weeks ago about how the goalpost is going to move. Whether it be Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double despite his team's record, then the next season him averaging a triple-double again and team record mattering even less. Giannis, years before, always went best team, best record, best player on that team. Last year, I felt like number one seed in the West was a no-brainer to give it to LeBron, but that's just me, and I could have my bias. So this year, I wondered how the goalpost was going to move for the MVP discussion to not go, for the MVP award to not go to LeBron James, and I heard Kendrick Perkins say that Steph Curry is the only player out there this season playing without a certified Robin, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard anyone say, because if that's your argument for an MVP, then LeBron should have way more than five because of all the years that he didn't play with a certified Robin and still dominated the league. Anyway, back to the standings. Memphis on that ninth seed at 13-12. They might sneak in there. Might have a way. Dallas is starting to rebound a little bit and starting to dig themselves out of that hole that they found themselves in early in the season. I don't think they will. I think they'll finish around 10. They still manage to lose some close games every now and then, and it's disheartening. How Sacramento is not closer to the bottom, I don't understand, because they're a horrible defensive team, but in the 11th seed, and so very much in the picture at 12-16. 12-17, you've got the New Orleans Pelicans. I believe 12 and beyond is where they're just not going to sniff the playoffs or be in the picture. So New Orleans at 12, Houston at 13 with an 11-17 record, Oklahoma City with an 11-18 record for the 14th seed, and Minnesota at the bottom, 7-23. Over in the East, Philadelphia continues to have a pretty strong hold on that number one seed. Brooklyn is ascending as well at 19-12. They're going to be really good offensively. They're not going to be very good defensively, and we'll see how that does for them in the playoffs. Milwaukee has lost five of their last six games. They finally got a win last night. And yeah, they've dipped. They're still three. And Giannis has been playing pretty well, but not good times in Milwaukee lately. Certainly not this week. Tied for that fourth seed, Boston and Indiana at 15-14. Toronto at 15-15. They are rebounding nicely from a bad start as well. The Knicks holding on to that 17th seed at 14-16. Despite the East being an overall improved conference, you're still seeing the 7 and 8 seed teams with losing records sneaking into the playoffs, and that could be concerning. Charlotte at 13-15, they're a really fun team to watch because of LaMelo Ball. Chicago in the mix at 12-16, as is Miami. Miami's beginning to dig out of the hole they found themselves in. Atlanta in the picture as well at 12-17. Orlando at 12-18. They're the 12 seed. Washington 13. Cleveland 10. And Detroit is at the bottom of the East at 8-21. So those are the overall standings for the league. That's going to pretty much do it for this episode. Hope to be on an episode with Ethan soon. Our schedules are kind of weird and different lately. And then, of course, like I said, I've been under a blizzard the last week. And so I'll coordinate with Ethan at some point. We'll get you guys an episode with the both of us on the same recording soon. But until next time, you can follow the show at Hoopball Lakers on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at JCDeLeon1. And you can follow Ethan on Twitter at Ethan_Noroff. And so until next time, we are out.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.